Let's start with the first one, and then we'll go into these ones. Christianity is ranked the largest religion in the world today. This is according to the Pew Forum on Public and Religious Life. In 2010, there were 2.18 billion Christians around the world. Nearly a third of the population on the planet considers themselves to be followers of Jesus Christ. Did you know that the term disciples occurs 269 times in the New Testament, while the term Christian only occurs 3 times? We are told in the Bible, in Acts 11:26, the disciples were first called Christians in the city of Antioch. And the word Christian means one who is in Christ, or in whom Christ dwells, a little Christ. And here is when the believers stop referring to themselves as Jews or Gentiles or Greeks, and they took on the name of Christ, became known as Christians. And we've kind of made these, there's another fact, we've kind of made these two terms, Christian and disciples, interchangeable, haven't we? And this morning, I am not trying to split hairs, but I do want to make a contrast between the difference between being a Christian and being a disciple. The truth is, and I'm talking about the really Christian context here, you can certainly be a disciple of something other than Christ. But in the Christian context, we're talking about Christ. In this church, we're talking about being disciples of Christ. So every disciple is a Christian, but not every Christian is necessarily a disciple. And again, I don't want to spend too much time splitting hairs there, but we forget sometimes that salvation happens in an instant. We become a Christian in an instant. We say the prayer. We accept Jesus into our heart, and it's done. It's complete salvation. But becoming a disciple is a lifelong endeavor. And it's something we have to commit ourselves to. A disciple is someone who is committed to, who tries to follow, and put into practice the teachings and lifestyle of the Master. For us, that's Jesus Christ. In John 15, it says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And if that's true, just like in any other friendship, we really want to spend more time with our friend. We want to get to know them better. It's the same in our relationship with Christ. The title of my sermon this morning is Discipleship is More Than a 12-Letter Word. And that's actually the title of a book that I had to read when I was in high school. When I was in high school, I just finished my freshman year, and I went to NYC, Nazarene Youth Conference in Washington, D.C. And back then, it wasn't just, you didn't just sign up and pay to go. You had to interview for, like, the district NY council. I mean, this was, like, intimidating. I was so nervous. We had to go in there, and we'd sit in front of this, you know, like, probably, like, 20 people in there, and kind of share our testimony. When we got saved, what God had done in our lives, what he was doing in our lives, and all these things. I was just very intimidated. And they were great. They were very gracious and nice. But, man, it was intimidating. And part of what we had to do, we had to go do this interview, but we also had to read this book, Discipleship is More Than a 12-Letter Word. And we had to write a summary of each chapter. And then every Sunday, we had to take notes of the pastor's sermon. And we had to have the pastor or youth worker or whoever sign off on them. And we had to send them in. I mean, we had to do all this work. We have got it in one seat. And that book is just that the title and that what I learned from that book has just stuck with me through the years. And that book talked a lot about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it really had an impact. And so, in short, discipleship is how you and I actively live out the lifestyle and teachings of Jesus. And this morning, I want to talk about discipleship. And really, there are two components to discipleship. There is the and in discipleship, there's really kind of two arms or two branches, two components to it. The one, and this is the one I'm going to be preaching on this morning, is our discipleship, us growing as a Christian, our spiritual growth. But there is, and I want to acknowledge this. I'm not going to preach on this morning, but I want to acknowledge this. There's another component to discipleship, and that's when we disciple others. We are called to do that. We are called to pour and invest ourselves into others, help others grow and come to a mature relationship with Christ. And that's absolutely equally as important. But this morning, I want to focus on our disciple, internal, because if If we're not healthy, then we can't help others grow into health, right? In maturity. And so I want to focus on that this morning, but please don't misunderstand this. I'm not trying to suggest that that's not important. That's part of what we're called to do as followers of Christ. But this morning, again, we're going to look at the internal reception, us, our spiritual growth. Spiritual growth being the synonym for discipleship here. So, number one, here are some more facts that have to do with discipleship. Number one, spiritual growth is not automatic. Spiritual growth does not just happen once you're saved. Even if you spend a lot of time in church, if you come to every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, every time the doors are open, that does not mean that you are going to grow spiritually necessarily. It helps, it increases the odds, but it doesn't mean that you're going to grow spiritually. Churches are filled with people who have attended services for years but are yet still spiritual babies. Spiritual growth does not come automatically just with the passing of time. You know, just like a baby doesn't just grow to an adult without care and you know, being taken care of, being fed, you know, being taught, and all those things. It doesn't just happen automatically. Hebrews 5:12 says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Again, making that reference to human babies. Human babies, they don't come out in the state, right? I mean, that'd be kind of cool if they did, but they don't, right? They come out, you have to have milk, formula. And as they grow, then you introduce them to, you know, the baby food, right? The fruits, pretty much the kids like the fruits, not so much the vegetables. I don't know if that, you know, your experiences, but our kids, they like the fruits, not so much the vegetables. But man, that was a big statement when we got to that. And then they move up to Cheerios, right? Put the Cheerios on the tray, right? Our dog used to come just sit under the high chair, who's waiting, you know? And so, yeah, the Cheerios, and then they move on, you know? It's like that in our spiritual walks. You know, when we first come to know Christ, we're on spiritual milk, so to speak. But as we grow and as we mature, our walk then becomes solid food. And here the Hebrew writer is chastising the fathers. He's saying, hey, listen, you ought to be further along than you are. And he's calling them to a deeper walk so that they can be who they need to be, who God has created them to be. Spiritual growth is intentional. It requires commitment and effort. A person must want to grow. They must decide to grow. And then they must make the effort to grow. You know, it's like trying to lose weight. You know, you may have a desire, oh man, I really want to lose weight. You know, I need to lose 20 pounds. And so there, it starts with that desire. But then you have to make the decision. Okay, I'm going to do something about it, right? Just knowing that you need to, if you need to, I'm not looking at anybody, you know, particular here. I just want to make that clear. You know, but let's say you just feel like, man, I just need to lose 20 pounds or whatever. You know, wanting to is a good first step, but that's not the only step, is it? Then you have to decide. I'm going to do something about it. And then from there, just deciding you're going to do something about it isn't enough, right? I mean, how much money do gym memberships make, you know, from people at this time of year, New Year's resolutions, and they pay for a whole year or 3 years or whatever, and then they never go. You know, that's got to be the easiest money in the world today. You know, because all the people, the broken humans, maybe, you know, they go for a month or so. So you have the desire, you have to make the decision, but then you also have to put forth, you have to actually go to the gym, or you have to do the exercise, right? It's the same in our spiritual lives. We have to want to grow spiritually. We have to decide to grow spiritually. And then we have to put forth the effort. And now, make no mistake about it, God has a part in that growth. God is the one who takes our effort and blesses it and helps us to become. We need him. He's a part of it. But he never pushes us into that. He doesn't stand before us and say, you know, go. You know, just like when we become Christians. God wants everything. He wants for us. He's done everything so that we can come to know him and have a personal relationship with him. But he never pushes or drags. He woos us. He calls us. But he won't force us. It's free will. And it's the same in our spiritual maturity. Becoming a disciple of Christ. He never forces us. If he taps us on the shoulder, you know, and reminding us and calling us, well, he'll never push us. We have to put forth that effort. But once we do, once we decide salvation, once we decide to follow Christ, he's already done all the work. And in spiritual maturity, our quest for discipleship and becoming more mature in our walk, he will help us. He will bless us. He's the one that will change our hearts. He's the one that will give us, help our hearts desire to be more in tune with him and help us to grow. So he is absolutely a part of it, but it requires our decision and our effort. Becoming like Christ is the result of our commitment. spiritually make you be like him, more like him to grow spiritually. The second fact is spiritual growth is attainable for everybody. I think there are some people who just believe, you know, this spiritual growth and spiritual maturity, that's just for the super Christian. You know, that guy or that gal that spends 10 hours a day in prayer. Or they move to the jungle so they can, you know, minister to the Aborigines. You know, they've gone all the way, and that's just for that super Christian. You know, spiritual growth isn't for everybody, you know, being that kind of person. Or the person who wants to, you know, die as a martyr, you know, that person that does that. But I want you to know spiritual maturity is for everyone. God calls us all to be mature followers of him. The third fact about spiritual growth and discipleship is that it's very practical. Any believer can be mature and can reach spiritual maturity and grow in spiritual maturity if they will develop the habits that are necessary. Like, just like in physical fitness, spiritual fitness is simply a matter of learning certain spiritual exercises and then being disciplined to do them until they become habits. I've heard you have to do something 21 times before it becomes habit. I don't know that I've ever tested that to see if anybody ever did. You know, God is the one who does. But that's what they say, about 21 times you have to do something before it becomes a habit. And so we need to be committed to that and put the effort forward. So there are four habits I want to share with you this morning about how a disciple, how we can become a disciple, how we can grow in our walk. And this, a lot of this is going to be familiar to you. You've heard this before. It's a reminder, though, of the importance of it. And it's a reminder of what we need to do. And so we need to be developing these daily disciple-like habits. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone belongs to Christ, they are a new creation. The old things have gone, everything is made new. This is what Christ desires for us. Changing of our hearts, changing of our motivations, changing of the things that we are seeking. You have put off the old self with its habits and have put on the new self, which God is continually renewing in his own image to bring you to a full knowledge of himself. That's from Colossians. And these habits are very important. I'm going to share these four habits, but the foundation of these habits are these three things. I just want to share with you briefly. Prayer. We need God's help. I don't know about you, but doing these things, I need God's help to help me do these things. I need the reminder. I need the motivation. I need, there are days, you know, believe it or not, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but believe it or not, there's some Sunday mornings I don't want to get out of bed. I know that's a really bad thing for a preacher to say, right? It has nothing to do with church. It's not because I don't want to come see your beautiful faces or anything like that. Please don't take that personally. But especially those rainy Sunday mornings, when you're laying there and you hear the, oh man, I mean, nothing makes me want to sleep in more than that. You know, I just don't want to get out of bed. You know, so we need God's help. You know, and certainly that's true, you know, to get up early, to, you know, for, I know Peggy gets up really early and does her devotions before the rest of the house gets up and stuff. You know, and for some people they do it at night. Sometimes they do it, you know, some people do it at night, whatever. You know, you got to find that time that works for you. But it takes that discipline, it takes that effort. And I don't know about you, but I need God's help with that at times. Also, the repetition, which I already, you know, kind of touched on. Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. You know, so we need to keep doing those things. We need to put the repetition to help it become habits. And then the third thing is accountability. This is very important. Let someone know your quest. If, you know, if you make a decision, man, I really want to make this a part of my everyday life. You're spending time in God's Word and the different habits we're going to look at. But let someone know so that they can hold you accountable. And listen, you probably don't want to ask an old military drill sergeant, you know, something, because you go to them and say, hey, you know, I really want to do better in my devotional life and stuff, and I want to develop these habits. Would you hold me accountable? You know, if it's someone too, you know, they might be like, hey, did you read this week? You know, all up in your face. You may not respond well to that. If you do, then ask me, because I don't be that person. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, if you're not accountable, or that person will encourage you, then ask you, hey, you know, maybe not every time they see you, but regularly, they'll say, hey, you know, Brian, you know, you came to me, you said you wanted to really, you know, improve this. How's that going for you? How you doing, you know? And you just have that relationship, and you can ask. You give them permission to ask. You ask them to ask, because I want to be held accountable. Because when being held accountable helps us to do the things. Sometimes that's the extra motivation we need to follow through in our commitments. So pray about this. Do it. Repetition. Make it a habit. And then ask someone to hold you accountable. Someone who will encourage you and help you with that. But here are the habits themselves. disciple spends time in God's word. John 8, 31, 32 say, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Spending time in God's word is so incredibly important. We just finished a series with the youth in Youth Sunday School about knowing God's word and putting it in practice. And it is so important to know what God's word says. And 1 Peter tells us that we are to be prepared with an answer. Knowing God's word helps us be prepared with an answer. Someone comes and asks us a question. Or they want to know why we are the way we are. You know, why we have joy. What's different about us? Or what's this whole Christian thing about? It's important to know God's word. But also, there are times when we just struggle. Anybody here ever struggle in their spiritual walk? Yeah. Man, knowing God's word, the promises, and the encouragement is so important. That really can make all the difference in the world. From giving up to walking away from your faith and standing strong in your faith. Because none of us are perfect all the time. None of us are all have it all together all the time. And so, man, being able to rely on God's word and know what it says. And you know, that makes all the difference in the world. When I was in college, I was really struggling. Freshman in college, I was really struggling with my call to ministry. And I was like, man, God, are you sure about this? And I was really struggling. And I walked into a revival service, and they had these little prayer cards. They were like sealed. Kind of like, you know, the Cracker Jack, you know, the little prize, the Cracker Jacks, you had to open it, you know. And it was sealed like that, so nobody had seen it or anything. And I walked in, and they gave this to me. And it's the first time I ever heard this verse. I'd never read it. Jeremiah 29:11. And, you know, it's a very famous verse, and everybody knows it. It's on, you know, graduation cards and everything else. And the teens all know, you know, that's one of my two favorite verses. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Give you hope in the future. And I can't tell you, there were not more perfect words than I needed in that moment. And I memorized that verse. But, you know, I never read it before. I've never seen that verse. I missed it. But man, I can't tell you, I've memorized it from that day forward because, man, there have been times when I've had a call about that. And I've needed that reminder. God knows what he's doing. He's in control. He's going to take care of things. We don't always feel it and sense that. But to know that God's word, the promises, and God's promises are true. To know that. And that's just one small, little example of how knowing God's word can help us. And here's another thing. We have an adversary. You know, I don't know how much you think about spiritual warfare, but it is real. You know, Dave touched on it earlier. It is real. And what the devil do, you see, the devil knows God's word very, very well. And one of the things he does, he takes God's word and he just twists it a little bit. It perverts God's word. It's no longer God's word. I want you to understand this. But it sounds a lot like God's word. And if you're not familiar with God's word, it can sound so much like God's word that you believe it and take it as God's word. Adam and Eve, in the garden. God said, there's all these trees, but that one, don't eat that one. What did the serpent do? The devil came to the former serpent and said, well, surely God didn't say, and he just twisted God's word enough to make Eve doubt. And we know what happened, right? We have to know God's word. It helps us to stand strong against the schemes of the devil. The Bible tells us he's like a roaring lion looking for whom he can devour. We have to know God's word. It's so important. So we need to be spending time in God's word. That's the first habit the disciples have. The second one is spending time in prayer. Again, David talked about this. John 14:7-8 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish and you shall have it. In this way, you will become my disciples. Prayer is so incredibly important. Raise your hand. Has God ever spoken audibly, out loud, in a loud voice like you hear mine? Has God ever spoken to any of you that way? Now, I've known a couple, there's one, and I know a couple people that's happened to. It's never happened to me. And most people, you know, that I know are followers of Christ, that's not happened to. So how is it that God speaks to us? Through his word and through prayer, or two of the primary ways, not only two, through other people, other mature believers, through the teaching of the word. Okay, those are all ways that God speaks to us. But these are important. If you, you know, I don't know how many times people come to me, I'm searching for God's will. I'm like, well, I've been in His Word, I've spent time in prayer. Well, you know, like, well, if you're searching for God's will, you know, it's important. You need to make yourself available to Him speaking to you. And those, again, aren't the only two ways, but two of the big ways that God speaks to us, two of the main ways that God speaks to us. So it's important to spend time in prayer. And that's your personal prayer time, and it's also important, as Dave said, corporately, that we pray together. We seek out God's will together, and we lift up one another. So it's important for both. The third habit is a disciple spends time in fellowship. And that's the spending time together with other believers. That's critically important. Now, I do want to say here, I think it's really important that as Christians, we spend time with unbelievers as well. I think that's important. You know, if you can handle this first, like, the, you know, you may not, if you're, you know, struggling with drinking, you may not want to go out with your drinking buddies for a while until you get strong in that, but you need to be wise. But it's important for us to spend time with non-believers. It really is. How in the world are we going to be relevant to a lost world if we don't even know where the lost world's at and what's going on, their attitudes and things? We really have to spend time. I was at Decatur First yesterday for their team day, and their pastor, Adam Lewis, he talked about how they have a requirement for their staff. Everybody that's on staff there has to spend time involved in something outside the church. You know, so like Ben, their youth pastor, friend of mine, him and his wife are in a pickleball league. You know, and that's their time. So they've gotten to know, they're building relationships with people outside the four walls of the church. That's a requirement by the pastor. I think that's brilliant. You know, he had a chance a couple years ago to go to a disc golf. He also does disc golf. And a disc golf tournament in Kansas. And so he went for that. And while he was there on the course, he led someone to Christ right there on the golf course. You know, the disc golf course, you know. And I'm like, and he's like, and he missed the district assembly to do this. And, you know, there were some upset board members and things. And so he's like, where would he better be served? Sitting in a meeting or out witnessing, you know. And then we have responsibilities and stuff, but you know, you get the point. We need to be involved in spending time with non-believers as well. But we also need to be spending time with fellow believers. Because we need to encourage them, and they need to encourage us. You know, and that's what fellowship is. You know, Sunday morning, you know, Hebrews talk about don't forsake the gathering together. You know, Sunday mornings is important. Be together. It's important for us. Hearing more from God and spending that time and maybe being encouraged by someone else. But I want to tell you, it's also important for the others. When we're not there, it leaves a hole. You're missed. You know, and this happens all the time. I'll just see someone, I'm like, hey, I missed you Sunday. And they start in with the excuses and everything. You're like, well, you know, and I'm like, I'm not really, seriously, I know I'm a pastor, but I'm not looking for that. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm not trying to, you know, well, why weren't you there? No, I just want you to know you're missed. But this morning, I want you to know it's important. Being in church is important. Not only for yourself, and it is important for yourself, but it's also important for the body. You know, if you were to lose a part of your body, your physical body, you would notice that you would be missed, right? It would change things. It's the same in our spiritual body, the church. We need you. And, we, you know, you need one another. We need one another. You need them, we need you, etc. And it's what's important to us that we're in part, that we're involved in fellowship with other believers. You know, I don't know how many times when I wasn't a pastor, but, you know, just I had the option of going or not going. And there were times like, oh, I just want to sleep in. It was a rainy Sunday morning, you know. And I said, oh, I just want to sleep in. But the times that, there have been so many times this has happened to me, that when I really was, like, not wanting to go and really resisted, but I ended up going, those have been some of the most powerful services that I've ever been in. You know, it was like the devil, like I said, there's spiritual warfare for freedom. The devil was trying to prevent me, and you know, oh, you don't need to go, it's okay if you do this, well, you know, whatever. But I go, and man, God just really speaks to me. It's just, you know, powerful. So we need to be a part, involved in fellowship as disciples. And then the fourth habit that we need to be disciples is simply tithing. We need to be giving to the church. None of you can be my disciples unless he gives up all his possessions, Luke 14:33 says. And that's the attitude of the heart that Christ desires. That everything this is, we give up everything. We give up control, everything to him. That's not what he asked us to give. He asked us to give a tenth. The tithe is literally a tenth, one tenth. And he calls us to do that. And we demonstrate our discipleship. We demonstrate our spiritual maturity by tithing and trusting God with that. And so we need to be that deal that we need to be giving and doing that. So those are the four habits that the disciples have that we need to grow in our spiritual growth and our spiritual walk with Christ. We need to be spending time in God's Word. We need to be spending time with prayer. We need to be spending time fellowshipping. And we need to give faithfully to God. The fourth fact of discipleship that I want to share is spiritual growth is a process that takes time. Now, how many of you ever made one of those resolutions about losing weight? You don't have to raise your hand, but if you have, you know. And, you know, I've done this, not so much resolutions, but I've just made up my mind, hey, I need to lose some weight, you know, I need to trim down. And so, you know, you eat a salad for lunch, and you go home and you weigh yourself, right? Because you want to say, okay, I had a salad for lunch, right? So, often this is our attitude.
I confess to be a Christian. And as a Christian, you know, I shouldn't be saying that.
And so he apologized to the football team. I mean, have you ever heard of a football coach apologize to his team? I mean, that's not something that happens. You know, and that just impressed me. I was like, yeah, okay, I respect that guy. I still want to cross his football, but I respect that guy giving me this. And I really appreciate that. And we all go at times. And then we need to apologize. We need to tell them. But our actions really do need to match our what we say we believe. So a few more facts, and this is just review. But mature believers are called to be disciples. And to be a disciple means we have to be disciplined. Right? And the more disciplined I become, the more God can use me. And that's the whole point. You see, God didn't just save you because you're good looking and you're cool and he wants you on his team. All those things are true. And God does want you on his team. But he saves you so that you can go to work for him. So that you can share what he has done in your life with others. That whole other branch of discipleship. Right? That's the reason God has called us. That's why he saved us. And so it is really important that we become disciplined. Being a disciple takes discipline, but trust me. But the more disciplined we become, the more God can use us. His ways become our ways. We're not so worried about ourselves as much as we are about pleasing him. Going back to that friendship. The mark of a disciple also is continual growth. It's a lifelong process. None of us will ever arrive. You know, none of us will ever. We need to continue to become more and more like Christ. So let's pray together, worship things in the crowd, and we're going to pray and close the service. But let's pray together this time. Lord, we do thank you for salvation. Lord, that's something you've done completely and totally. But you offered it to us. And I'm so thankful that you have. I'm so thankful you did for us what we could never do for ourselves. But Lord God, you call us more than just to be saved. You call us to be your followers. You call us to be disciples. To be committed. To be disciplined. Father God, because as I just said, the more disciplined we are, the easier it is for you to use us to help build your kingdom. And so, Father God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to examine where we're at in our discipleship. I pray that you would help us just be honest with ourselves and use more. This isn't about anybody else. So, Lord, I pray that you would just help us. And, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. We love you, and we ask this in your name.